You're listening to media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. We are a multi-generational, Jesus-centered community of scripture, faith, and grace located in Tallahassee, Florida, on the campus of Florida State University. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. We hope that the next few moments are a time when God speaks into your life by the power of His Holy Spirit about His Son, Jesus Christ. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Together with Jesus. Today, we're going to be talking about Matthew 13 and 14, and we're going to be getting into one of the things that is commonly regarded as one of the hallmarks of Jesus's teaching style, which is his parables. And so we really haven't seen parables out of Jesus up until this point in Matthew, and we're really going to see him start to teach using these things in a big way starting here in chapter 13. So let's jump in. We are going to be reading today out of the New King James Version, the NKJV. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak in parables?" He answered and said to them, "Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have in abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which said, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came to him and said, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Another parable he put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. which indeed is the least of all of the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was leavened. All of these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned up in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to the shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, Have you understood all these things? They said to him, Yes, Lord. Then he said to them, Therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, Where did this man get his wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus and said to his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. For Herod had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had said to him, It is not lawful for you to have her. And although he wanted to put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, Give me John the Baptist's head on a platter. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, because of the oaths and because of those who sat with him, he commanded it to be given to her. So he sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard it, he departed there by boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, Bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes, so that they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Now when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all of the surrounding regions and brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many touched it, were made perfectly well. Hey everybody, welcome to the after party for Together with Jesus. This is when we take a little bit of time and we break down what we just read to you. And today we are talking about some pretty popular stories from Jesus, the stories of the first time that he's telling parables, as well as some of his better-known miracles. And so it should be a great day for us to kind of talk through some things. So let's jump right in. We are going to start off in Matthew 13, 1 through 23. And in this, he's going to talk a lot of parables. He starts off telling the parable of the sower. So that's the first parable that we get from Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. It's probably one of the best known parables that we have in the Christian church. And it's a parable that Jesus uses in order to express kind of this idea that some people are going to get him and that other people are not going to get him. And so he tells this parable and he doesn't include an explanation to it. It's kind of this interesting thing. The way that this works out is, of course, as Christians, we've heard the explanation, but the way that Jesus delivers this at first is he just delivers the parable and there's no context. There's no sort of understanding of what he's getting at here until his disciples come up to him later and they say, Jesus, we don't quite get this. Why are you speaking to everyone in parables? And so then Jesus goes into 2 different movements. The first movement is he talks about why he's speaking in parables in the first place. And that all has to do with Isaiah 6. If you want to go back and read Isaiah 6, that would not be a bad thing. But essentially, in Isaiah 6, God calls Isaiah to be his prophet. And as he calls him to be his prophet, he tells Isaiah that a part of what it will mean to be a prophet is that Isaiah is going to go and he is going to speak things that some people are not going to be able to hear. They're going to speak things. He's going to sort of be able to say the words. People are going to be able to hear the words, but they're not going to understand. And Jesus is saying that that is what it's going to be like for his disciples. That's even what it's going to be like for Jesus, because there are some people who have just shut their minds off from Jesus and they're not going to be able to understand what Jesus is saying here. And so as we start this off right away with the parable, you have this sort of idea that some of the parables are going to be a little bit difficult for people to understand. And so after that, then, it's interesting, Jesus doesn't leave the disciples simply in that state of not understanding. In fact, he even says, blessed are you, because you do understand this. And the only reason that they understand it, though, is because Jesus breaks it down for them. Jesus explains what the parable means. And so that should give us a little bit of relief there, that we don't have to figure out the parables on their own. We're not like the people that are mentioned in Isaiah that are simply there without any understanding. Instead, we have the very second person of the Trinity who is there explaining the parable to us, explaining to us what God wants us to hear. And so after he explains that, he gets into a few other parables. And these parables are kind of interesting in their own right. He gets into the parable of the weeds and the mustard seed and the leaven. All of these parables, he starts them off by saying the kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of heaven may be compared to. And this is something that the Gospel of Matthew uses a lot, this phrase, the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is sort of this idea of the reign of God. This is sort of the way in which God lives in our hearts and in our minds. And so what Jesus is getting at here is that this kingdom of heaven is kind of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's the ability for us to know who God is and to be sons of the kingdom, to be a part of his kingdom together. And so he tells these parables in order to show a little bit of what that's like. First of all, with the parable of the weeds, he kind of shows that we're not going to be able to tell who is who. But then after that, we get into the parables of the mustard seed and the leaven, which are both things that kind of are both parables that show growth that is happening in this kingdom of heaven, that the kingdom of heaven is not going to be a static thing, but rather it's going to grow and grow and grow. Well, then after that, after Jesus sort of explains a little bit that, he once again has his disciples come to him in private, it appears, and they say, hey, we still don't get this. Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. And so then he goes and he explains that parable, the parable of the tares, sometimes it's called, and kind of breaks it down for them. And then after that, he then begins a few other parables. And these parables, we're not quite sure if these parables are addressed only to his disciples, or if they are addressed to another crowd someplace. But what they do is they are there. Again, he starts off with this line, the kingdom of heaven is, or the kingdom is like, and so he kind of gets that understanding of, okay, this kingdom of heaven thing is what I'm talking about here. So all of these parables are concerning this kingdom of heaven that he's talking about. And here, he talks about how the kingdom of heaven is a valuable thing. So you have the parable of the hidden treasure. So, you know, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that somebody hides in a field, and somebody finds out that it's hidden there. And he goes and he buys that field with all that he has, because the value of the treasure in the field is worth way more than what they have. Same thing for the pearl of great price here. And then you get the parable of the net. The parable of the net is an interesting one, because the parable of the net shows that the value in the kingdom of heaven, again, is not a static thing, but the value of the kingdom of heaven is actually one that is relayed to the people that are in the kingdom. And so we become valuable, we become the good fish, if you will, because of our connection with the kingdom. And that is how we're connecting up the parable of the pearl of great price and the parable of the hidden treasure, along with the parable of the net. And so after that, then you have a final kind of mini parable, maybe, with the old and new treasure. So Jesus says to his disciples, have you understood all of these things? And amazingly, they say to him, yes. And so it's like, oh, now they're finally getting the way that these parables are working. And on top of that, he says, and then he said to them, therefore, every scribe who's been trained in the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. And it appears that what Jesus is doing there is he's kind of showing that the disciples are going to be like these scribes. They're going to be people that can bring out of their house, out of their selves, the understanding of the Torah, the sort of way that they've been raised and the understanding of God's word that they have, as well as what Jesus has brought them. Well, then we get to the end of this section of parables, and you have a new narrative that shows up. And this new narrative is kind of an interesting thing. So Jesus goes back to his hometown in Nazareth, and while he's there, he starts to teach in the synagogue, as he does in most other places. But the people in Nazareth are like, hey, we know you. And because of that, they're a little bit standoffish about Jesus. They're, you know, can I really listen to this guy? And so Jesus said, you know, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. Now, that by itself, we kind of know that. I think that's a fairly common line that people use a lot. But really, in kind of the bigger picture of what Matthew is painting here, is we have this continuing sense of Jesus being rejected by his own people. That was definitely the case of the last two chapters that we read, where we were seeing the people of Israel that were rejecting Jesus. And here you have that all over again. You have Jesus being rejected by his own people. And we know that kind of in the big picture of what Matthew is doing, Matthew is going to be showing us that the people of Israel are going to reject Jesus, they're finally going to crucify Jesus, and that the gospel then is going to go out to the Gentile people. And so this is a big piece of Matthew kind of showing us the direction that he's going with this gospel. After that, we have a really kind of fascinating study in the first story, really, of chapter 14. So in chapter 14, we start off with a story about John the Baptist. And it's really sort of an interesting thing when you think about it literarily, that what Matthew is doing is he's giving us kind of a flashback. And for literature at the time, this was not a normal convention. This was something that Matthew kind of was like figuring out how to do. And so it's really interesting just from a literary point of view. But on top of that, it is an interesting thing that Matthew just gives us this sense of, gives us this story, rather, of John the Baptist. Because here we've been tracking along with Jesus and Jesus and Jesus. Last time we were talking about how John the Baptist's disciples come to Jesus, and basically it appears that from that the sense is, okay, well, it seems that John the Baptist is sort of handing the keys over to Jesus, that there's kind of a transferal here. And that transferal is definitely at its end now here in 14, because we find out that John the Baptist has been beheaded, and we get the story of why. And so we have a kind of shift there. It's sort of a left turn in the narrative, in the story structure, but it's one that I think sets us up for the next thing. And the next thing is the most famous of all of Jesus' miracles, probably, Jesus feeding the 5,000. Outside of the resurrection, this is the only miracle that is recorded in all four of the Gospels. And so this is one that is, I think, very, very common to all of us. We all kind of know how this goes to some degree or another. And in it, we also have sort of the first notice of what Matthew is kind of meaning by the crowds. Matthew constantly will tell us about the crowds that are following Jesus, and yet we don't have kind of clarity on how big of a crowd we're talking about. Well, if they were anywhere near this crowd was 5,000 men plus women and children. So, yeah, probably somewhere around 8,000 to 9,000 at the very least. We are talking about a pretty big crowd of people that are there hearing Jesus and are being affected by his teaching. Well, after Jesus feeds all of those people, then he goes and he does something with the disciples. Now, it's interesting the way that this mimics what was happening when he was talking with the parables. He was speaking to a large group of people, and then after that, he was doing something just for his disciples. Here, we have that same kind of movement. He has the miracle for the large group of people. He feeds the 5,000. But then here, in walking on the water, this is a miracle that is just for his disciples and just something for them to be kind of thinking about, okay, well, who is this guy? Who is this Jesus? When they see him walking on the water and they marvel at who he is, especially when he brings Peter back on the boat and they say, you know, truly you are the Son of God, as if everything else hasn't already shown them that Jesus is something special, this really seems to solidify that for them in at least a new way. Well, after that, they move over into the land of Gennesaret. Gennesaret is across the Sea of Galilee. It is in a place that is majority Gentile, and that is where we are going to be picking up next week. And so Jesus has been healing the sick in this area, and all of the people that even are touching the fringe of his garment are being made well. As that is happening, we're going to be picking up then next time on everything that is happening in Gennesaret. So thanks so much for being along with us this time. We hope that you have a blessed week, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week. Thanks so much. Bye. P.S. One last thing for you to know. Since we are in Matthew 13 and 14, and Matthew has 28 chapters, you can give yourself on the a pat on the back if you've gotten this far, because you are now halfway through the Gospel of Matthew. Good job. Thank you for listening to this media from University Lutheran Church and Student Center. To learn more and to get connected to other resources, please visit universitylutheranchurch.org. If you would like to financially support more media from University Lutheran, please visit our website and click the Give Now button, which will enable you to engage in the Christian discipline of giving tithes and offerings to God through His church. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up His face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.